are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
What an awesome message from Nick this morning. It was just great. Jesus is the vine. It was fantastic. Just so simple, but so powerful. And I just thought it was a great time in the Word. And I don't think it mattered whether you were young in the faith or you've been in the faith for a long time. I just thought it was just fantastic teaching. So let's pray. God, we just thank you for your word tonight. And Father, as we continue on the series, Jesus Is, Lord, I pray that you would continue to speak into our lives. And Father, we would be able to appropriate the goodness of you into our lives, and we'd be able to walk it out. And Father, we could see difference, not just for ourselves, but for the people around us, for our different situations. And Lord, Jesus in us would be impacting those around us. And so, Father, we just thank you for tonight. I just pray that that my words would be your words, and Lord, that you would speak into our midst. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. So we could put that first scripture up. I'm continuing on, getting very original. So we're continuing on, Jesus is our healer, part two. Okay, so very original title tonight, Jesus is our healer, part two. We just read this scripture, Jeremiah 46, verse 11. It says, go up to Gilead and obtain healing balm, O virgin daughter of Egypt. In vain you use many medicines, for you there is no healing or remedy. Now this comes from a passage in Jeremiah, obviously, and it is a word to the Egyptians at the time, and basically it's a sign of trouble to come for the Egyptians, and it comes to a point in Jeremiah 46, where it says that through all your trouble you'll seek this healing, but there will be no healing and no remedy for your situation. And it's kind of like a little bit of what's happening today. And God's word doesn't return void, and what he says in the Old Testament or in the Old Covenant, much of it is very relevant for us today. And one of the things that we see today is people are seeking answers. They're seeking answers for their issues. They're seeking answers for their troubles. And as much as there's some remedies out there, they're actually not being dealt with properly. And they're only kind of part-time or short-term fixes. And that's because what the world brings can't answer the real question. So that's kind of where I want to share about tonight, a little bit about that. And so if we can go quickly back, this is one of the slides that I used in my last message about healing. And if we can go to the types of sicknesses and diseases, this is really quite simple. Types of sicknesses and diseases, I'm no doctor, but these are quite simply where things are at. There's physical sickness, there's emotional sickness. In Psalm 147, verse 3, it says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, healing their pain and comforting their sorrow. And thirdly, there's mental and there's spiritual also sickness as well. So if we go to the next slide, and we look at, if we see the types of sickness, we see the types of healing. So we see there's natural healing, there's medical healing, there's spiritual healing. And so firstly, we see miraculous physical healing or deliverance. And that's almost an immediate thing when we see that type of healing. And then the second one there, which is more of where I'm going to be talking about tonight, is by the power of his word and spiritual principles. And in this, it's not necessarily immediate, but it's a process that we walk through applying Jesus, because Jesus is the healer, Jesus to our life, because Jesus is the word. the book of John says Jesus is the word. So it's applying, and you know, where it says in Jeremiah says, for you there is no healing or remedy, Jesus is the healer. He is the answer. And so that's kind of more where what I'll be talking about tonight. And for the most part, does Egypt, as the Jeremiah scripture refers to, the world, because Egypt is a type of the world, offer healing or remedy for an issue that only God can heal? And Egypt, the world, can't have the answer for that. Only God can heal. And if we see God's processes in healing, here's just a couple of scriptures that I just think are so powerful in his way of doing things. Psalm, they're not up on the screen, but Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. All his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, all of them. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And Psalm 107, 19 to 20 says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. As we think of back to that scripture in Jeremiah 46, where it says, for, you know, in the world there is no healing or remedy, they search for it. It's kind of because they've gone to the answers where there really is no answer. Long term, there is no answer. And Romans 12 verse 2 says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if we have a look at Proverbs 14:2 to 14:12, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And, you know, as we consider those couple of scriptures, it's kind of, you know, there's a lot of pride out there in the world today. And there's a lot of people that think that they have the answer and they don't need God because they've got the answer. And that's a way that seems right to a man. But in the end, it's not going to lead to much, or it's going to lead to death. You know, sometimes I don't know whether you've ever had, I've got some healing ointments here. I've got Stingos. I've got Savlon, and I've got some Burn-Aid. And I didn't, you know, particularly want to highlight any of these, maybe the Savlon more than anything. But, like, if we get a cut or, you know, we get damage, you know, on our skin or something, you know, something like Savlon can be really helpful. Can sting sometimes a little bit when we first get a cut, but it can be very helpful. It's an antiseptic type cream. And there's different ointments around that are good for different things. And, you know, sometimes if you've got a cut or a burn, it will just say a cut. Using Stingos on a cut isn't necessarily the best option. You're going to know you're alive if you put this on a cut. And so, you know, sometimes I remember years ago we did have water ski camp here. You know, we're talking 20 years ago. Now, we did a water ski camp here on one weekend for the youth, and we had probably, I think there was about 70 or 80 kids that went, and it was a massive weekend. And so we kind of went from sometime early Friday and came back Saturday, but the youth came down for Saturday, and I just remember being in the boat driving pretty much most of the day, and I was so burnt with my olive complexion. It really, it was not a good day for me on the water. And I can just remember, and we must have got back at 9 or 10 at night. And I remember needing a remedy for the burn issue. And so we went and sought out, we just went to a supermarket and grabbed some aloe vera. Has anyone ever used aloe vera before? Yeah. And I probably used half the bottle that night to help me with the soreness and the pain, and it was the right remedy. it was the right thing. And I just remember that I just kept putting it on, and it really helped with the process and sped up the healing. But there's sometimes where we use things that aren't necessarily the right things for the issues that we go through. And another thing that I remember was that about 4 or 5 years ago, we were camping and it was quite dark, and I said to Claudia, look, I've got it. Like, it wasn't a migraine, but it was really close to a migraine headache, and it was a really bad headache. I said to Claudia, I just need some Panadol or some Nurofen or something. Can you get me a couple of tablets? And, you know, it was dark, and she was kind of searching around for what, you know, what she needed to find. And she said, here you go, here's a couple of tablets. And a couple of hours later, I said, my headache just is not getting any better. And so she searched around, she turned a light, and she goes, oh, no. I gave you worming tablets, not... It was helping something, but it wasn't helping my headache. And it wasn't a good thing, but there are some times where you need the right ointment or the right tablet for the right problem, and that certainly wasn't it. But just coming to a bit about where I go tonight. Quite a number of years ago, when I worked at Everest Timber before Bunnings, so it was more than 20 years ago, there's a lady we had at work, and I remember having a discussion with her just about her life, and she was really struggling for direction in her life, and she was just in a fix to find out, you know, things, and she was quite depressed and quite stressed. And she said to me that she'd been to a tarot card reader and a psychic, and she had been given all the answers that she needed for direction in life. And at that time, I just said to her, I don't know that that's the best idea for you. I don't think that that is going to lead to a good place if you follow that advice. The reality of the spiritual power is there, but it's not going to give you the right direction. And, you know, in God's word, Isaiah 18:8-20, it says, someone may say to you, let's ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead with their whisperings and mutterings. They will tell us what to do. It says, but shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Shouldn't the living seek guidance from the dead as a question? And verse 20 says, look to God's instruction and teachings. People who contradict his word are completely in the dark. And Deuteronomy 18 talks about how seeking advice from mediums and, you know, tarot cards or star signs, it's a detestable practice. It's one of those detestable practices. And as I was preparing this message, it was one of the things that I thought I wanted to use just an example of how, you know, in Jeremiah 46, it says, in vain you use many medicines, for you there is no healing or remedy. There's no healing or remedy in seeking out mediums or tarot card readers or what have you. There's going to be no fix in that. It's that classic scripture of there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. And just as I prepared that, I believe there's one or two people here tonight and you've sought that advice, and I don't want to bring you out the front now, but I want you to come and see me afterwards. I believe part was in my preparation, but part of it was a word of knowledge, and you've never dealt with that and cut that off your life. If you have, that's cool. Don't come and see me afterwards if you haven't and you've sought that sort of advice, that needs to be cut off. It's a dangerous place to be. But it's one of those areas that people seek healing for or seek answers from, and that's not what God's asking us to do. And, you know, we think of some other things that you know, we hear that could be answers, and one of them is time heals all wounds. That's not scriptural. Someone might have told you it's a biblical thing, but it is not scriptural. Time does help to heal wounds, but it doesn't heal all wounds. There's got to be more to it than that. You know, and for other things, you know, we might be tired, we might be worn out, we might be stressed. And so So what do? We go and sit in front of the TV to numb our minds, and that's not going to be the answer that we're going to need for our issue of rest. For some, they drink their problems away to numb the pain. That's not the answer. That's not God's answer. And some, they seek advice from the wrong places. They go to the wrong people and they seek the advice. And when we go back to that scripture in Jeremiah 46, in vain you use many medicines. I'll just keep coming back to it. For you there is no healing or remedy. The world's way will not answer the questions that only God can answer. And there are many types of sicknesses that we consider out there, or struggles that people have these days. Stress, anxiety, depression. And, you know, I was having a chat with Matt on Friday, and, you know, he mentioned, I think, that aside from Iceland, is it, Matt? Iceland? Yeah, that I think now Australia has nearly the highest rate of depression in the world. That's crazy. The highest rate of depression, where are we seeking our answers from? Self-esteem issues, self-worth, anger, addictions, drug, alcohol, gambling, sexual addictions, spiritual blindness, bitterness, unforgiveness, fear, burnout, the list goes on. You know, some of them are, you know, medically diagnosed sicknesses, others are spiritual sicknesses which people have. And how do they come about? How do those sicknesses come about? Well, some of them are because of upbringing. Some are because of the way people have been brought up in a family. Some of them are because of hurt in people's lives. Some of them are tragedy or accident, which has thrown someone sideways. It could be abuse. It could be a chemical imbalance in someone's life. It could be what they've been taught. It could be what someone's been taught. It could be lies that people have believed. Satan's pretty good at that. He's a good liar. So you better know what the truth is. It could be what you fill your mind with and fill your time with. That nice old mobile phone can fill your mind with a lot of rubbish a lot of the time. It could be just an outworking of behaviours or habits that you have in your life. It could be choices. Could even be curses, which the word talks about, but I don't want to go into that tonight. In this life, there are rarely the exact same cause in each case for people. But we all or will have or have had areas in our life that need healing. Some, they mask over the real issue. It's there, but they use things to mask over the real issue that's there. Some deal with the symptom rather than the root of the symptom. And some, in the process of dealing with issues, keep running away from the real issue because they just keep searching for the answer that they want to hear, not the answer that's actually going to deal with the real issue. And most of the time, with many of the issues, sicknesses and struggles I've mentioned, healing takes place over a process of time as we walk in relationship with God, our Father. And as Nick so brilliantly shared this morning, remain in me and I will remain in you. Attach yourself to the vine. Don't go away from where Jesus is calling you to. Let me repeat that again. Healing takes place over a process of time as we walk in relationship with God, our Father, following His ways as He guides, following His word as He heals and shows that He wants us to have a full life, not just for eternity, but here on earth right now. I'm not going to go for very long tonight, but there is a story that I want to bring to your attention out of the Word of God, and I love this story. It's one of my favourite stories of Jesus as He heals a lame man. And if we go to John chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, we can put that up on the screen. You can follow it in your version of the Bible if you like. And it starts by saying, afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda, with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" Now, I wonder with this pool, and there's some answers as this man had, but, you know, he's been lying there for 36 years. I wonder if this pool kind of represents that healing that can't come from the world. I wonder if that pool represents that. People are seeking that healing. And this particular man has been there. And Jesus asked him one of the stupidest questions. Not that Jesus is stupid, but when you look at this, if a man's there and he can't walk, he asks him just a crazy question. Now, as much as this account is of instantaneous physical healing, it gives us an insight into how God works in our lives. And he asks this question. It's not deep. It's not complicated, but simple and really quite obvious. And he asks him, "Would you like to get well?" In some versions it says, "Do you want to be made well?" And so, as much as Jesus is asking this man this question, if you're dealing with issues in your life tonight, what is the question that Jesus is asking you? Is it the same question? Do you want to be made well? Or is he asking you, do you believe what the Word of God says about your situation? Or is he asking, are you prepared to submit to me in all things? Not some things, not the things you feel like it, but is he asking you, are you prepared to submit to me in all things in working through this issue? Or is he asking me, do you want a quick fix? Do you want to mask over the issue? Or is he asking you, do you want to deal with the symptom or the real problem? Or is he asking you this, are you prepared to take responsibility? God is always about the long term and not the short term. Not because he wants another mark on his hero card, but because he wants the best for our lives. And he makes it clear through Scripture that he wants the best for our lives all the way through. And he's about the long term, not the short term. And he will meet us. I need you to hear this. He will meet us where we are at and ask us to follow. And then he will meet us where we are at and he will ask us to follow. And he will meet us where we were at, where we are at, and he'll ask us to follow. A couple of years ago, we did a series on being a follower, not a fan. He wants to draw us out. He wants to heal our diseases and heal our issues. But sometimes in the process, it's not just a snap and click your fingers. Sometimes he's got bigger things in mind that we maybe don't totally understand. And so he asks us to follow even when we don't feel like it. And as we look at many of the world's solutions today, do they really want them fixed? You look just currently in our society, we have massive alcohol issues in our society, massive drinking issues. And yet, how many ads do we see on TV for alcohol? They are everywhere. It's funny, it's almost amusing. I listen to, quite a bit of sport radio and I love their gambling. Well, I don't love their gambling ads, but I hear their gambling ads. And, what's the disclaimer at the end? Does anyone know what their disclaimer is at the end? Please gamble responsibly. Is there any form of it? Is that a real fix? Or is it just going to continue to be a problem for many people until they've got nowhere to go. So here's four quick points on the healing process that God takes us through, or the spiritual healing process that God takes us through. And we're not far from the end, so like it's a brief message tonight, but I really just sense that these four things are really important. They're not, it's not the be-all and end-all, but these things are really important. And so the first thing we see, and you can put that list up there, Cass, I reckon. Can you put the list up there? So the first thing we see in the healing process, and this is our part in the healing process, is number one is to take responsibility. John 5:7-8 in the New Living Translation. I think we've got that scripture up there. And this is the next part of Jesus talking to the lame man. And he says, the lame man says, "I can't, sir." The sick man said, "For I have no one to put me into the pool. When the water bubbles up, someone else always gets there ahead of me." So Jesus said to him, and you notice he didn't say to him, "Oh, okay then. Well, it's a very sad and sorry story for you. I'll pick you up and put you into the pool. Don't worry, I'll look after, you know, everything, because life's been so hard and so tough for you." But he says to him this. Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat." You notice he didn't say to anyone else, "Hey, can someone come over here? Pick this guy's mat up." It's his mat. It's his situation. And he says, "Pick up your mat and walk. Yes, you might have been hurt. Yes, you might have been lied to. Yes, you might have been abused. Yes, your upbringing might have been tough. And you might be sitting there and you might be saying to me right now, 'Chris, you don't understand my situation.' No, I probably don't. But Jesus does. But if you don't take responsibility for where you're at right now, pick up your mat, who will? Who's going to take responsibility for you?" Now, unfortunately, this whole attitude fits into where the world is right now. You've only got to have a listen on a little bit of media stuff. And as soon as someone, you know, possibly, maybe just offends someone, the whole world goes into shock. And everyone's got to be offended for everyone else. And you've got to be offended for that person. And, oh, we'll be offended for that person. Let's everyone get on the whole offended bandwagon, and let's get on the whole hurt bandwagon because someone else got hurt. I have no issue with compassion. I have no problem with it. And we need to be compassionate people. But as all of us sitting here, we need to take responsibility for the life that God has given us. We need to. Because if we don't, you know what? I guess no one else will. And for the part that we play in the process of healing, we need to take responsibility. The world is looking for someone else to blame. But you know what? The reality is everyone in this world is going to be hurt. Some hurt more than others. Jesus was hurt and bruised for our iniquities. He was punished for our iniquities. And the hurts and pains, we may not be able to relate to others, but for you personally here tonight, can I just look each of you in the eye, even though it's a bit blurry because I'm really looking at this, can I look you in the eye and say, you know what? Jesus is asking you to take responsibility for your life. And there'll be people around you that will help you, but if you don't first and foremost take responsibility, no one else will. So that's the first point, just in case you didn't understand it. The second one is to walk in truth. And I broke this into two parts. Okay, firstly, walk in truth. Firstly, know the truth. We better know the truth because there's plenty of lies out there. And the word says, if you know the truth, if you know it, the truth is Jesus and his word, the truth will set you free. Not half truths, not part truths, not picking and choosing what the Word says and says, well, I like that, but I'm not sure about that. The whole truth. Know the truth and walk in it. So get it and walk in it. Walk in it every step of your life. Walk in it. Walk in the truth. Walk in it. Don't just say it as, oh, that's nice. That's a nice thing to say. Walk in it. Get God's truth in your life and walk in it. The second part of that was be honest about where you're at. We need to be honest about where we're at. It's important that we're really honest about where we're at right now. If you've got an issue in your life tonight, in the process of healing, we need to be honest about where we're at. There's no point lying about it. There's no point pretending things aren't happening. We need to be really honest about where we're at. At the point of honesty, that's sometimes that is the first step of dealing with issues in our life. And so Matthew 7:24, and Graham gave an awesome message. I can't remember if it was early this year. It might have been early this year, where he talked about the man who built his house on the rock. Jesus is the rock. Was that the one? Yep. What's that? Last year. And so Matthew 7:24 says, so everyone who hears these words, and this is about walking in truth, all right? So everyone who hears these words, it doesn't just stop at hears these words. It says, hears these words of mine and acts on them. There's no point just listening. It says, hears these words and acts on them will be like a wise man. And in the Amplified version, it says, a far-sighted, practical and sensible man. And I'm sure, it means all woman as well, so man or woman. Don't get precious with me because I'm just reading and I'm just saying man. It's man or woman, okay? Don't get all funny with me. Who built his or her house on the rock. Hears and acts. Hears and acts. Walk in truth, hears and acts. Okay, the third thing is to confess. James 5:16 says this, therefore confess your sins one to another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed, that you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. That is James 5:16. Can I encourage you to all get that scripture down? That is such an amazing scripture in the process of healing. Now, some versions say where it says, therefore confess your sins to one another, it says confess your faults to one another. And you might be saying, well, how's that relevant in the process of healing? I'll tell you a story in just a moment. But where it says sins and faults, it comes from the Greek word papaptoma. I'm into the Greek now, so I'll have to go up in your estimations tonight because I'm quoting the Greek tonight. I feel very scholar-ish. Is that a word, scholarish? That'll do. Scholastic. Yeah, I can think of another word too. So, and it means this, to fall beside or near something. Or secondly, a large deviation from the truth or uprightness. And that's more the one I want to highlight. A large deviation from truth or uprightness. So if you see, therefore confess your deviations from truth or uprightness, your false steps, your offences, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. So a number of years ago, I had an issue with pornography. And it went over a number of years. And I can tell you this, it wasn't till I got some accountability and I confessed the issue, really confessed where I was at, that the issue began, well, it immediately changed, but the healing process began at that point. The true healing process began at that point. And I can't tell you, we're years down the track now, that once that confession took place and that accountability began, that the healing really hit home. And I can say now that, you know, I'm always aware of the dangers of it, but I'm free. I'm as free, and I can tell you that that issue is dealt with. I'm never too silly to think that it's all over. I've got to be very careful about the things that I do and the things that I watch and all those sort of things. There's a lot of parameters. But the confession began the healing process. The Word of God, the answers that we have in the Word of God are powerful. And they're not just throwaway things. They're not just written in there because they might be a good idea. And I can't tell you how not only good it's been for me in the healing process, that confession, but how I've now been able to help others in and through the process. And so confession is a powerful thing. Be wise about who you confess to. Confess to someone you trust or has the runs on the board. And what I mean by runs on the board, don't go confessing different things to someone who's got the same issue, who's not prepared to speak straight and truth into your life and say, righto, we want to help you and deal with this thing properly. Okay? So confession is a really powerful thing in the healing process. All right, so just remember, I just can't highlight that enough. It says a large deviation from truth or uprightness. And Satan's number one gift is lying, all right? And tonight you might be here and you might have some sort of issue. It may be not the issue that I'm talking about. It could be some sort of illness. It could be some, you know, sort of bad habit that you've got into. And Satan, as I'm telling you this, may be lying to you and telling you you'll be okay. You'll work it through by yourself. We're built to do life together in relationship with God and with others. And he puts people around us to help us through different situations. Confess your sins and your issues one to another. And if I just go back to that testimony about me, that process then began some other issues that brought out some other issues that had come up from early in life that I had not dealt with. That in and through that process of healing, I began to deal with things and I became freer and freer and freer. But if we're looking for the quick fix, it doesn't always happen that way. And God is about total freedom, not part freedom. Okay? So walk in it. Walk through the process. God says he's with you at this step and at this step. And he says, follow. And he says, follow me. And so there are going to be different steps that we need to walk through. Okay, lastly, pray. Here's a great idea. Pray. Jeremiah 17:14 says, O Lord, if you heal me, I will be truly healed. If you save me, I will be truly saved. My praises are for you alone. In Luke 8:7, we see the story of the persistent widow who nags and nags and nags the judge. And then God says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Can I just encourage you, if you've got an issue or an illness or a sickness or a healing and any of those things mentioned or others, it's not an exhaustive list that I've given you tonight, pray and keep praying. And if it's been going on for years, keep nagging, keep praying, keep praying. Keep getting on your knees before God. Keep praying. Keep praying. And, you know, there's other things that I haven't mentioned tonight. But God is a God of compassion. And it's not just one of these things, but many of these things. And we can't just be searching for the easy answers. We've got to be searching for sometimes. And sometimes there's a process of dealing with hard things in our life. And so can I just encourage you, when we think of that first scripture, let's not search for our answers from the world. Let's search for our answers because they're not there. The answers are not there. The true answers, the lasting answers. You know, he wants us totally healed. As we see there in that scripture, In Jeremiah 17:14, "O Lord, if you heal me, I will be truly healed. If you save me, I will be truly saved." Can everyone stand to their feet, please? Tonight could be a trigger point for you going forward that you may need to confess tonight. Tonight could be a trigger point that you need to go forward and get on your knees and start praying. Tonight, you know, it could be that you come to a point of saying, "I'm going to take responsibility for this issue, for my part of this responsibility." Even though it may not have been me, tonight it might be your beginning where you begin to walk in truth, in God's truth, not in other truth. There are different things that we can take away from this. And I'm happy to pray for people afterwards if you want. And please don't forget about that word that I had about tarot cards and that sort of stuff. I'd love you to come and see me afterwards tonight. And I know Graham and Chris and there are others here tonight. If you want to, after we close, to come forward for a prayer, you can. But I want to encourage you, this word is about ongoing. This stuff is about living life out in the fullness of God and allowing him to walk with us in the process of healing. So let's pray together. God, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. I just thank you that it is life-changing and it is powerful. And Father, for each and every person that is here tonight, no matter what the issue, and there may not be an issue, but no matter what the issue, no matter what the situation, Lord God, we know that you are the healer and you have different ways of outworking things in our life. And so, Father, I pray that there would be processes that begin tonight, that that people are encouraged to seek confession or to begin to pray into a situation. And I know there will be people who are sitting here tonight going, "Chris, I have dealt with this issue for years and years and years and we just can't seem to get any sort of ground on this." Father, I pray into that situation too, and I pray into those situations, and I pray that there would be breakthroughs right across this building right now. And that, you know, in the process of walking, I pray if the walking stopped, that the walking in and through the process would begin again. And so, God, you are a God of compassion, and you are the healer. And so, Lord, if there is someone who needs instantaneous healing in different situations, I know your grace is here for that too. And so, Lord, let your healing power, let your restoring power be here. And, Lord, let us all follow your ways and your thoughts, and not only hear them, but act on them in the processes that you would take each and one of us through. And so we pray these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Great stuff. Have a great week, and come out for prayer if you want to, but I encourage you, just walk in the word and in his ways.